But we're going to read from Numbers 13. I'm looking specifically here at Moses and when he sent the 12 spies across into the land that was promised to the people of Israel. And in particular, we're looking at verses 25 through to 33. So it's the ending part of that that I want to read. But Moses has had instruction from the Lord to choose 12 good men, one from each of the tribes of Israel, and that they should go across into the land of Canaan to inspect it, to have a reconnaissance mission, to scope out the place and see what it's like, and to discover some of the fruits that it bears. Because don't forget, God has promised it'll be a land flowing in milk and honey. So it's going to be a prosperous place. And so Moses sends out the 12 and they spend some time there. And we come to this passage, verses 25 through to 33, where the report of the exploration is fed back. And it says this: at the end of 40 days, they returned from exploring the land. They came back to Moses and Aaron and the whole Israelite community at Kadesh in the desert of Paran. There they reported to them and to the whole assembly and showed them the fruit of the land. They gave Moses this account: "We went into the land to which you sent us, and it does flow with milk and honey. Here is its fruit. But the people who live there are powerful, and the cities are fortified and very large. We even saw descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites live near the Negev. The Hittites, the Jebusites, and the Amorites live in the hill country. And the Canaanites live near the sea along the Jordan." Then Caleb silenced the people before Moses and said, "We should go up and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it." But the men who had gone up with him said, "We can't attack those people. They are stronger than we are." And they spread among the Israelites a bad report about the land they had explored. They said, "The land we explored devours those living in it. All the people we saw there are of great size. We saw the Nephilim there, the descendants of Anak, who come from the Nephilim. We seemed like grasshoppers in our eyes, and we looked the same to them." So we have a report there from the spies that went across to see what this place was like, and they come back and there's mixed reviews. You've got two that are saying, "We should do it, we should go in there, it's good, it's as they say." And then there's 10 that have seen a different perspective. They see the same things, but they come back with a very different perspective. And we're going to be looking at tonight what it is to be moving on with God. And we're going to do that in relation to what we're about to hear, because I'm going to ask two young men come up and join us, and they're going to share about their experience this summer. And I then want us to think about, well, where do we go from here when we have these encounters with God, these wonderful times, if you like, spiritual highs. So we'll come back to that passage shortly and look at that. But I'd like to ask Ben and Mark if they're happy to come up and join us. And I'm going to get this radio mic, and both of them being very brave coming up and sharing something of their experiences. I don't know what they're going to say, to be honest. So, the battery dead, is it? About technical issues. Ewan's on the job. Yeah. We could use this one. Right, okay. Well, I will start to ask the questions, and then we'll hand over to you. We'll start off with Mark. Is that okay with you, Ben? So, Mark, seamless. Look at that. We'll have to wait for him to turn it on, though, at the back. He's probably muted yourself. You can't speak yet because you've been muted, but I can still speak. So, Mark, which camp did you go to?
Junior Mix.
Oh, you can take the mic. I've got a mic attached to me here, so I'm good.
Junior Mix.
Junior Mix. And was it your first time at camp?
Yeah.
It was your first time at camp. And did you have a particularly favourite officer, you know, that was there helping lead?
No.
Never work with young people. I think that's
the advantage. Wouldn't be you anyway, so...
Thank you, Mark. I can expect honesty from Mark. Excellent. Okay. Well, I want to ask a couple of questions of each of you. And so, Ben, you'll obviously hear the questions here as well. But what was your favourite part, given all that we did, at DCYC Junior Mixed?
Fry-ups in the morning.
Fry-ups in the morning. Every morning this year at camp, we had a fry-up. Any of the activities as well that we did?
Woodlands.
Woodlands was good. Did you enjoy the high ropes? We went. Yeah. Do you know Dartington, where they have the Dartington Crisp and all of that lot? Apparently hidden behind in the trees, there's a high ropes course and abseiling and rock climbing. We went there and they had a zip wire, didn't they? Which was went across a gorge, so it was quite high up. But they all seemed to enjoy it, except some of the lads, because the harness was a bit tight, I think. So you enjoyed that.
Yeah.
What did you not enjoy about camp? Because there are some aspects that people don't enjoy.
You.
Okay, good. Excellent. To be fair, I deserve that because I kind of set myself up. But I know that there was something in particular you weren't so keen on at camp.
The showers were freezing.
The showers were freezing cold. We had new showers installed at camp this year, which I'm sure you experienced as well, Ben. And they're new campers showers, which are down at the bottom of the field. And because all the campers were using them, I think the water went quite cold quite quickly, unfortunately. The leaders' ones, however, toasty and warm for the first time ever, which was lovely. It really was. So not the showers. What did you learn about God this year? We were looking at the Ark of the Covenant, weren't we? And what did you discover from that?
I don't know.
You don't know? Do you remember? To be honest, you had some words and I put them down somewhere. But we learned that because God was in the Ark, a little bit like how we opened the service, that God was in the Ark. In a sense, where it was a representation of God's presence with us. And I remember you said, Mark, on campus contribution, when each of the campers get to share something, perhaps something they learnt, and you said that you learnt that God isn't with us just when we're in church or when we meet here, but God is with us all the time. Does that sound familiar? Because you said it. There we go. Mark said that at campus contribution, but he's gone silent now. Excellent. Well, thank you ever so much for sharing with us, Mark. Hand the mic over to Ben. I'm going to ask you some similar questions. Mark's obviously going to go and abandon you now up here. But Ben, tell us, which camp did you do this year? And hold the mic up nice and close.
Boys camp.
You went to boys camp. And was it your first boys camp, or have you been before?
It was my second.
Second year at boys camp. So we have a seasoned camping pro here. Excellent. So what did you enjoy most about boys camp this year?
My friends in my tent.
Friends in the tent, yeah. Because you're with one group the whole time, aren't you, in a tent? And so you really get to know a group of people during that time, don't you?
Yeah.
And do you have tent leaders as well that's specifically assigned to your tent?
Yeah.
And were they good this year?
Kind of. Oh. One came in 3 days late, so.
Oh, I see. Well, boys camp, you know. It's inter-camp rivalry there. Okay, so you enjoyed tent time. You enjoyed getting to know the people in your tent and building relationships, friendships.
Yeah.
Excellent. What did you not enjoy quite so much about camp this year?
Well, we went to this water place where you went canoeing, raft building and kayaking. And
yep.
In the kayaking, we kept playing these games and I kept on turning too hard and kept on falling in the river.
Oh, I see. Yeah, and the river was cold, I would imagine.
Yeah, it was freezing.
Freezing, yeah. Freezing cold water. So freezing cold water tends to be a theme here. Young boys, like myself, don't like cold water. Excellent. And what did you learn? Because I don't know what the theme was for boys camp this year, but what did you learn about God this year?
I think it was pretty similar to Mark's, because at boys camp everyone's always like in the vibe and everything. They've always like feel that they've got God around them. When they leave, it quite often happens that they lose that vibe and that they think God's not there, but actually he's always there and he never leaves you.
That's brilliant. That really is. Well, thank you ever so much for getting up and sharing us with that. And particularly, bear in mind, I didn't know you were going to say that, but that fits in nicely with what we've said. So thank you very much, Ben and Mark, for sharing with us. And I know there are other people that have been to camp this year. If you want to sit back down, Ben, I'm just going to pop this back here. But there were other people. Milo, in fact, went to camp. Milo's looking, don't worry, I'm not going to come ask you questions. I'm not going to put you on the spot. But Milo, you were at Senior Mix this year, weren't you? And we know Toby, Dominic and Emily were at different varying camps, and I think Seth did Somerset camps, and I know that many of you did Bush Conference, of course. I know that we've had people that are known to us that have walked around the Southwest Coastal Path, 433 miles. I know that some of you have had the opportunity to go on holiday and to take time of refreshing and quiet time. And so for each of us here, we would have had experiences over this summer where we would have perhaps met with God, or where we'd have had a time of refreshing. There would have been people in our fellowship here this evening that would have gone through exams this summer and would have had results. In fact, we heard the results of a couple of people in the church whilst we were down at camp. And it was really good news to hear how well people had done. And so there is much to give thanks for, because as Mark and Ben have so wonderfully shared with us, they've both, in a sense, encountered a God who they have come to know doesn't just meet us in these certain places, church or the camp field where we're worshipping God, but actually God is with us always. So thank you ever so much for sharing that message with us, because that's a message we ought to take a hold of. And it's a message we ought to keep in our hearts. It's something to be thankful for. And so before we turn back to this passage, I want to say a prayer now of thankfulness to God for all that he's done in in the young people's lives that belong to both this church and the surrounding community, and to all those people that have perhaps had an experience this summer where they've encountered God or they've had a time of refreshing. So let's thank God now for these wonderful things. Father God, we thank you for the testimony of these two young men that have stepped forward and told about their experience this summer at camp. We thank you, Lord, for the work of DCYC. We thank you for the work of Somerset Camps and all these local camps and mission groups that meet together over the summer months, intent on sharing something of you with so many young lives. Lord, we thank you for the work and we pray that you would continue to prosper it, that more might come to know you as a God that goes with us wherever we go, that you are always with us. And if we draw near to you, we have the assurance and promise that you draw near to us. So we thank you for the work of the camps. We thank you for the young lives that have been influenced and impacted by them. We thank you also, Lord God, for those that have been helped through exams this summer, for those that have since had results, for those that are perhaps so pleased with those results and looking forward at the next steps. We pray also for those, Lord, that perhaps had results that they weren't expecting. But we ask, Lord, that they would know that you lead and guide in all circumstances and that you open doors to new ventures and possibilities for each of us. So we pray for them also. And Lord, we come to you to give thanks for this summer time that we have had, for the times of holiday that we might have had, for conferences that we might have attended. Lord, we thank you that you call us that we might be refreshed, that we might know a newness in you. And so we thank you for all the opportunities that have been had this summer to meet with you, to grow in you, to learn something new of you. But we pray, Father God, as we look ahead, that that wouldn't be the very best of it, but that we would truly be able to say the best is yet to come, that we would acknowledge that we are each called to move forward with you. So, Father, we thank you for all these many things and ask your blessing to continue to be with both the young people that attend these camps and indeed all of us as we seek to follow you daily. And we lift these things up to you in Jesus' name. Amen. So lots to give thanks for, as I've already said. And I've got to be relatively quick here because there's a lot I'd want to say, but I'm actually going to try and not say too much because there's a clear message I think I want to get out tonight. And that is simply that whilst we had back in July a celebration service anticipating all that was due to come, we now have here, if you like, the other bookend to the summer that we have here, when we give thanks for all that God has done. But one of the things that I think has come out, and certainly Ben alluded to it there, is that DCYC, or the camps, these conferences that we have, they're keen that we don't step away from the field or the conference centre, wherever it might be that we've been at, and think that that is the best, that now it's a downward slope until next year when we have the same experience. That actually the God that we encounter in the field, in the case of DCYC, is the God that we can encounter daily. And that he calls us to follow him, to keep moving forward with him. And so we come to this time now, looking back, giving thanks, but we say it's not the end of the story. We say that this isn't simply as good as it gets, and now it's going to be a downhill slope as we go back to school or work, though school and work may make us think that at times. And we're not called just to settle back into a comfortable routine, the things we do on a day-to-day basis. But in a sense, we are to anticipate greater things still. I went back to Moorlands 2 weeks ago, and the building sites that I left at the end of term, back at the end of May, where it was just foundations and this steel structure, you know, like Meccano sets. Do we still do Meccano? We still do Meccano. Excellent. Thank you, Zoe. So you know what I'm talking about, this kind of basic shell structure. Well, that's what the buildings look like, particularly the chapel. But over the course of the summer months, it's been added to. And as I've returned back to it, the buildings are all but finished. And it's been a long-standing project. There's been a sense of anticipation at the beginning of the project. This is what we want to do. This is what we need to raise. And it was placed in God's hand that it would be provided. And it has. And it's been outworked. And we come to the completion of the building. But all those people that have anticipated the hours of its building and preparation for its final stages aren't now looking at it thinking, well, that's as good as it's going to get. Now what do we do with it? But they have purposes for that chapel building to be used, that people might come into the presence of God, to acknowledge him, to grow in their faith. That building has a use and a purpose that goes on. And that is the same with us, with our encounters with God. That it doesn't simply come to an end at some point, but rather we are called to keep moving forward with God, to keep moving on with Him. And that's where we find the Israelites as we turn to this passage this evening. That we have a group of Israelites that have been led out of captivity in the Exodus, taken out of Egypt, and have worked their way back to the land that God has called them to. And here Moses sends in the spies to check out the land. But there are often things that hold us back from moving forward with God. There's two things in particular that hold us back. And the first one is this, that we're often fearful of the future. A sense of uncertainty, a sense of the unknown that we often encounter. For some of us, it might be going into a new year at school or a new college. For some people, it might be starting new jobs. For some people, it might be moving to a new house. There are lots of uncertainties we face in life, and often we're held back from moving forward into new circumstances because we have a fear of the unknown. I know when my parents said to me, we're going to move down to Devon, and I know I've used this as an illustration several occasions, but when they said we're moving down to Smeathup, I said, where, what, when, why, and how are we going to do that? But I was fearful ultimately because everything I knew was back near Luton. Everything that I understood was back there, and so moving down here meant leaving friends behind, and as a 17-year-old, that was pretty much my whole life. The irony was, I didn't have anything going for me back in Luton. You see, I dropped out of school at 16, obviously finished my GCSEs, but I went on to do one day at college, a National Diploma in Uniform Services, so if you imagine what I look like in uniform, that was the path I almost went down. I'm not sure which, to be honest, uniform service would have taken me, to be fair, but that's where I was going for all of one day. But I said that wasn't for me because I had zero confidence. I didn't think that was right for me, and I had a fear of the unknown. And so in the end, I ended up working at a golf shop a couple of days a week, not with any direction, not knowing where I was going. And so when my parents said we're moving down to Devon, I should have jumped at the opportunity, but I had a fear of the unknown. I didn't want to take that step and come down to something that I didn't think was for me. We're often held back from entering into new seasons in our walk with God because we're faced with a sense of uncertainty, a fear of the unknown. But then there's something else that holds us back, and that is that sometimes we get very happy with where we are. We get very complacent about where we are, and we think, well, this is as good as it gets. Surely can't get any better. I'm comfortable here. I'm going to stay here. This is good. And I've actually got a friend who was telling me about a time they came down to the southwest and they went to Creeley. They would come down every single year. And so if you're not from the southwest, Creeley is a big deal, I think. It's probably the biggest theme park we've got down here. So it's a big deal for many holiday makers. And they would go there every year and they had young children. And from the outset when they started coming down, the young children were too small to go on the rides, the roller coasters, the log flumes, the giant carousels that go around. And so they would spend their time in the ballparks. And they would spend their time with the animals and the indoor play areas and things like that. But this year when they came down, my friend's eldest son was now old enough to go on some of the rides. And so both father and son were equally excited because now all of a sudden the dad had an excuse to go on all the rides. He had a child that was old enough to join him. And as soon as they got to the park, the anticipation was building. And both father and son were so excited about the prospect of going on these wonderful, wonderful rides. And the first thing they come to is the giant carousel. Now, I'm not talking about one of the ones with the horses that go up and down. You know the ones I'm talking about. I'm talking about the ones with the giant swings that have long cords going up to the top. And then they spin you round and you gradually start working your way further and further out. These fast things. And the boy saw it and he said, Dad, I want to go on this. It looks amazing. It looks incredible. And because they'd come down here out of season and because it was early in the morning still, there wasn't a queue. And so they jumped straight on along with a few other people and they went round. And the son loved it so much. The dad also loved it as well, but they enjoyed going round this thing. It lasted about 3 minutes until the ride came to an end. But because there wasn't a queue, the boy turned round to his dad, who was on another swing behind him, and said, Dad, can we go again? And the dad said, sure, if that's all right with the guy who's operating the ride. And he said, yeah, there's no queue. So he just started up again, and they started going around again and again and again. And once they got to the end of the second time round, the boy turned round to the dad again, and you can see where I'm going with this. He says, can we go again, Dad? This is brilliant. And so the dad says, all right, okay, we'll go around again. Well, by the time it got to the end of the fifth time round, because there were still no cues, the son asked again if he can go round. The dad at this point isn't quite as robust as he once was, and his stomach's starting to feel it. This motion is starting to get to him, and he's thinking, I'm not sure I can go again, son. But he looked at his son and he said, do you know what? There's so much more out there. There's so much more to be done. There's log flumes. There's roller coasters. There's all sorts of other rides. There's death slides. And he tried to explain to his son about how much more there was out there that they could look forward to, that they could go on to do. But from the son's perspective, this was the best thing ever. And from his perspective, there was nothing else that could beat this. And he wanted to stay there. But the father knew that there was more to enjoy, that there was more to experience. And so he wanted his son to go on and to explore all of that. Well, this is an image of what sometimes our Christian walk is like. That we experience times when we want to move on, but we think, this is as good as it gets. I'm happy here, I'm comfortable here. This is exciting. It's a little bit like some of the experiences we might have at camp, where we experience those spiritual highs and we think, well, surely it can't get any better. Two things that hold us back. Fear of the unknown and a sense of complacency or excitement about where we are, not wanting to leave that behind in case it's not any better. And yet God would call us to keep going with him, to trust in him. And that doesn't mean that our Christian life is like some neat chart that just goes up and up and up and our experiences get better and better and better, because life isn't like that. But we are called to follow God. We are called to trust in him. And it's those encounters with him that are the best experiences. And God is calling for his people here in Numbers to move forward with him. And Caleb and Joshua come back with favourable reports about how they should be looking to move forward into that land that has been prescribed to them, that God has promised to Abraham. But the other 10 spies are filled with fear. The kind of fear that I mentioned, a fear of uncertainty, the fear of the outcome that war might bring with these nations that they've said have well-fortified cities and giant armies filled with giant men that tower high, that make them feel like mere grasshoppers. They have a sense of fear. And so their perspective is shaped by that. They have a perspective that forgets about how God led the patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, that led them into this place that was promised to them. They walked through the way that Abraham had gone. They went to Hebron. They forgot about the Exodus. They forgot about how God had taken them out of Egypt, had delivered them from their hands, had parted the Red Sea. These incredible things. They'd forgotten how God had appeared to them in clouds of smoke, pillars of cloud during the day and pillars of fire by night. Such an awesome sight. And yet they had forgotten all these things in the face of uncertainty and in the fear that they had towards moving into this land filled with mighty warriors and fortified cities. And so they wanted to hold back. They didn't want to go any further. And this fear began to influence the people. So much so that the people begin to rebel against Moses. Had we read on into chapter 14, we would have seen that the people then rebel against Moses and say, we want to elect a new leader and we want him to take us back to Egypt. You see, the fear that they had started to make them think about a complacency about something they'd experienced before, and they thought maybe Egypt was the best it was going to get. Maybe that's where we ought to have stayed, and they started looking back. And so they're held back now through two reasons. One, they're fearful. Two, they think the best they ever had was back in Egypt. They've got their perspective all out of order. So how do we overcome these obstacles? How do we trust in God and seek to move forward with him? Well, there are four things that I'm quickly going to draw out. Four things that we learn from the life of Caleb and Joshua. The first is this. That they accepted God's promises. The promise that was made to Abraham, that they would be called into this place, that it would be a land provided for them, was reminded to Moses. It was reminded to him in Exodus 3:17. It was reminded again here at the start of chapter 13 in Numbers. That they are the recipients of the promise. That we ourselves this evening are the recipients of the same promise. It was said to Abraham that he will bless all the families of the earth through him. And we're the recipients of other promises as well. Promises that say God will never leave us, will never forsake us. That God and his love is unending for us. That nothing can separate us from his love. That if we go to him weary and heavy laden, that we can find rest in him. These are some of the promises we acknowledge in him. And Joshua and Caleb reminded themselves of these promises as they looked upon the land. And it helped them overcome the fear to know that God had made a promise. And the second is this, that they remembered God's faithfulness, that God delivered on his promises. The 12 spies walked on the path that Abraham had gone before them. They walked through the Negev, they walked through the hill country and came eventually to Hebron. They retraced the steps of Abraham. And they acknowledged as they did that, that God had been faithful before and God would be faithful again. They understood that God is the never changing, that he is always consistent and always faithful. So they held to the promises of God. They acknowledged that God is always faithful. And then thirdly, they recalled God's generosity. You know, as they went into this land, they discovered amazing fruits. They walked to this place called Eshkol at one point, which is a valley, and it was laden with vines full of grapes. And when they got there, they took down part of one of the vines, and it was so heavy, the vine that they were going to take back, that they actually had to put it on a pole and carry it between two people. But as they went back, they had this wonderful evidence of God's provision, of his generosity. And they fixed their eyes on that, on God's generosity. Not the fortified cities that they had seen, not the giant armies that they had witnessed, or the large men that they had seen, the warriors that they had faced. But they remembered God's generosity and his provision. And then fourthly, they received God's resources. They came back with these resources, these provisions, and they acknowledged that where they had limitations, God was the all-sufficient Saviour. That he had limitless resources. And so they looked to him. They looked to God's resources and acknowledged that God could overcome the armies that occupied the land. They didn't look at their own resources. They recognised their limitations, but they looked towards God and his resources. And so they trusted. So there are four things that Joshua and Caleb did. To overcome the fear of uncertainty. To overcome the sense that it was better before. They remembered God's promises. They remembered that God is faithful. They witnessed God's generosity. And they acknowledged God's resources far outweigh any earthly resources. That God could overcome in those battles. We have to challenge ourselves in the perspective we have. We have to challenge ourselves when we have a perspective of fear. And we have to challenge ourselves, like the little boy was challenged by his father, that we're off on a ride that we're loving, that actually perhaps something just around the corner is even better for us. Because God has plans for our lives. God has things that he wants us to be moving into, calling us into. That it doesn't just get this good and then that's it. But that to know God and to walk with him, and to grow closer to him is the greatest prize we can strive for. And we can do that because Jesus Christ made a way for us, called us to follow him. That's the message for us this evening. That if you've had a great summer, and I hope you have, that it doesn't just peter out from here on out, but that God calls us into a deeper relationship and into new things. Well, what a God we have. What a God we have that provides us with these wonderful encounters with him. But that says, you know what? There's even more. You haven't even started to plumb the depths of my love. And I want to reveal it to you. I want you to show you how much I am. How great I am. And we'll never fully understand until we stand before him and see him in his glory. But God calls us to follow him. And to search the depths of his grace and love. And to know the prize that we strive towards in Christ. What a gift. Well, in closing, we're going to let Milo and Dan lead us in a time of worship again. We're going to sing a song, and it talks specifically about building the church up. And we acknowledge that we are the church, and that God can use us to build one another up, and can use us to do great works. And so some of the things that God might be calling us into is a servanthood, a new role, a new opportunity to build up others. So let's sing together and acknowledge that we are God's church, and that he is calling us for a time such as this. Thank you, Milo and Dan. Thank you.
Let's stand together and sing. Come set your rule and reign in our hearts again. Increase in us, we pray. Unveil why we're made. Come set your hearts ablaze and full like wildfire in our very soul. Holy Spirit, come invade us now. We are your church. We need your power in us. We seek your kingdom first. We hunger and we thirst. Refuse to waste our lives, for you're our joy and prize. To see the captive hearts release, the hurt, the sick, the poor at peace. We lay down our lives for heaven's call. And we are the church. We pray, revive this earth. Build your kingdom here. Let the darkness fear. Show your mighty hand. Heal our streets and land. Set your church on fire. Win this nation back. Change the atmosphere. Build your kingdom here. We pray. Unleash your kingdom's power. Reaching the near and far. No force of hell can stop your beauty changing hearts. You made us for much more than this. Awake the kingdom seed in us. Fill us with the strength and love of Christ. And we are your church. We are the hope on earth. Build your kingdom here. Let the darkness fear. Show your mighty hand. Heal our streets and land. Set your church on fire. Win this nation back. Change the atmosphere. Build your kingdom here. We pray.
Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for this news, this gospel news that sets us free, that brings us into a relationship with you. And Father, in that relationship, Lord, we pray that you would embolden us to go forward, seeking and searching more of you, to plumb the depths of your love, to acknowledge you day by day, your presence with us, that we might acknowledge you are calling us on to greater things, calling us into a deeper relationship. Lord, would you help us to overcome the fears that so often hold us back? And would you help us often to overcome the complacency we sometimes feel that says, this is the best it gets? Lord, help us to know that there is unsearched riches in you, yet to be discovered. Help us to push forward in faith, in persistent faith, and seek more of you in our day to day. Lord, we thank you, we praise you, we give you the glory. And ask that you would help us to keep our eyes fixed on our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we pray these things now in his name. Amen.